Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with Peggy Hoyt. Our goal is to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. For more information about creating a legacy for your pet or to listen to archive shows, visit animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Join your host, author, estate planning attorney, and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt.
I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and this show is brought to you by the law offices of Hoyt & Brown, where we create estate plans for pets and their people. Also brought to you by Animal Care Trust USA, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to keeping loved pets in loving homes. Today, our special guest, her name is Lisa Lunghofer. She has served as the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization since 2015. She also founded Making Good Work, an organization devoted to helping nonprofits achieve results. She has worked extensively in the areas of animal welfare, the human-animal bond, violence prevention, and child welfare, and she serves as a consultant to animal-related programs throughout the U.S. Welcome, Lisa. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you today. Yes. As you said, I've been the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization for the past 5 years. I actually came to work in the area of animal welfare by a sort of circuitous route. My background's in research and evaluation on children's exposure to violence, and about 15 years ago, I decided that I wanted to use my skills in evaluation and grant writing and program development to help animal-related organizations, and that's how I got started on the path towards Gray Muzzle and how I ended up founding Making Good Work and working with a lot of different animal welfare organizations around the country.
I love that you're doing that, and I specifically love the mission of Gray Muzzle Organization. Because there are lots of animal welfare organizations out there, tell us what makes the Gray Muzzle Organization different.
Sure. So Gray Muzzle's vision is a world where no old dog dies alone and afraid. And honestly, after 5 years of saying that, it still makes me choke up. We're not a shelter or a rescue. Instead, we help serve and improve the lives, or save and improve the lives of at-risk senior dogs by providing funding and other resources to animal welfare organizations across the country. So our grants provide things like medical and dental treatment, foster and hospice care, adoption promotions, and other programs to keep old dogs in their homes with the people who love them.
Love that. So that is very much something that I'm passionate about, because I feel like pet parents should do everything that they can to keep their pets at home, have a plan for what happens to the pet if something happens to them, so that we do keep loved pets in loving homes and no old dog ever dies alone or afraid.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And now more than ever, that sort of planning is so important.
It is. And I think one of the trends that I see, and tell me if you see this as well, is that, you know, as we age, our dogs are aging as well. And sometimes we will outlive our dogs, but under certain circumstances, our dogs will certainly outlive us. And it's important that we know what's going to happen to them and that we don't just make an assumption that a member of our family or a friend is going to be willing or able to take care of that pet.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's absolutely imperative that people think ahead about what plans they have for their animals should something happen to them, either they're, you know, incapacitated for a period of time in the hospital or what have you, or if, you know, sadly they should pass away.
So
never
I know you, right?
That somebody
never
will step
that.
Up exactly, and make sure that when you make that plan, and I'm sure this is part of the work you do every day, but make sure that when you make that plan, you know, you alert all the people who are going to be needed to carry it out about it, and make sure that they are committed to carrying out the plan in your absence.
Absolutely. No surprises, right? You don't want to be the one to make that phone call and say, hey, guess what? You get to take care of Fluffy.
Right.
That would be a big surprise for some people. I know you probably have a lot of statistics about older dogs. What are some of those that you can share with us?
Well, I think one of the most heartbreaking statistics is that the adoption rate for senior dogs is much lower than that of all other ages of dogs combined. And the latest statistics suggest that just over 50% of older dogs make it out of shelters alive, which is really heartbreaking. And it really is the motivator for Gray Muzzle's work and our efforts to rewrite the story for thousands of these senior dogs on a national scale. And in fact, we're actually one of the only national organizations working specifically on behalf of senior dogs. So that's something that I'm really proud of.
And you should be, because I think that number is astonishing that only a little more than 50% of senior dogs make it out of shelters. I think that there may still be a misconception out there in the world that somehow if we take a dog to the shelter that it's guaranteed to find a new home.
Yes, I think that is true. And certainly there's variability around the country in terms of the odds of senior dogs making it into a new home. There are some parts of the country where senior dogs are really in demand in some respects. And then there are others, sadly, that's not the case.
So from your perspective, what surprised you the most when you started working with Gray Muzzle?
I think that statistic really was what surprised me the most, that there is such a need for special programs and efforts that are focused specifically on senior dogs. And actually right now, we were very fortunate to get a grant from Maddie's Fund, and I have been doing for the past year an in-depth evaluation of our grantees. And I've done hundreds of interviews with our program directors from each of our grantees, as well as from some of their staff, as well as adopters and their volunteers, to really understand what's going on with respect to senior dogs and what the issues are and what some of the challenges and successes are. So it's really been a fascinating opportunity to look at what some of the, particularly the regional variations are in terms of the issues that are facing senior dogs and how shelters and rescues are working to really step up their efforts to help senior dogs, because a lot of them are seeing more senior dogs coming into care. You know, a spay and neuter has worked in a lot of places, and puppies are not what are coming into shelters and rescues. They're actually seeing more older dogs and more dogs who have greater health needs, particularly needs for dental care. So I think that it makes the work that we're doing at Gray Muzzle all the more important.
I wouldn't disagree with that at all. So having been the owner of several senior dogs and the fosterer of other senior dogs, talk to us a little bit about what the benefits are of having a senior dog.
You know, opening your heart and home to a senior dog really is a rewarding experience. I think that older dogs who have lost families that they've lived with for many years are especially grateful for that second chance to love and be loved again. And, you know, the people that we talk to who have adopted senior dogs, particularly, like I was mentioning, that this Maddie's Fund evaluation, the folks that I talked to who adopted senior dogs said that they would do it again in a heartbeat. You know, with a senior dog, what you see is what you get. They're usually house-trained and well past the teething stage, so you probably don't need to worry about losing a shoe or having the remote control chewed up. You know, all dogs are individuals, but senior dogs do tend to be more laid back and easier to live with than younger, more rambunctious dogs. And the other thing is that a lot of shelters have senior for senior programs where they have reduced adoption fees for senior citizens, and some shelters actually offer reduced fees for anyone taking an older dog home.
That was my experience, that I was able to adopt my Sassy at a reduced adoption fee because of her age. She was 11 years old when I adopted her. And right. I have to say, she was one of the best dogs I ever had. She came completely trained and completely grateful and was just such a joy and a delight to have around. And I frequently joke that... you know, anytime you adopt a puppy, I mean, it's great to have a puppy, but they just don't have any concept of gratitude. Whereas an older dog, they are just so grateful and so kind and so loving and just appreciate every little thing that you do for them.
I could not agree more.
So they are just so fun. So I love that there's an organization, the Gray Muzzle Organization, that although you're not a shelter or a rescue, that you support the efforts of other organizations that have programs for senior dogs. And so Tell us a little bit about your grant program.
Sure. So our grants are focused on supporting programs that improve the lives of at-risk senior dogs. So every year in February, we invite shelters and rescues and sanctuaries and other nonprofit organizations that help senior dogs to apply for our grant funds. So since 2008, when we were founded, we've provided nearly $2 million in grants for senior dog programs. And last year, we awarded a record $419,000 in grants to 62 animal welfare organizations across the country. So this year, our call for grants ended last month, and we are now reviewing nearly 300 applications, and we'll be looking forward to making awards in June.
And how do you go about that award process? How do you make those announcements?
So we have we train our reviewers. We have a pretty rigorous process of training our reviewers to do the reviews, and we have two reviewers review each one of our applications, and then we rank order the scores, and we choose the top applicants. And this year we're hoping to award at least $450,000 in grants, but we don't determine how much we are going to award too far ahead of time, because the amount that we award ultimately really does depend on how much we raise from the community. We don't have an endowment. We don't get any government funding. So the amount that we award in grants is completely dependent on how much we raise each year.
Well, if you are making grants of $450,000 this year, then you're doing a terrific job, I think, on your fundraising. And we want to encourage our listeners, of course, to support the Gray Muzzle Organization. If you have a heart for senior dogs, this would be such a good way to recognize the good work that Gray Muzzle is doing and know that you're helping not only other organizations, but the senior dogs that they help, too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. We really do depend on the public, and we're so thankful for our supporters and the people who have given so generously. And we know that this is a very difficult time for everyone in the world, and there's a lot of uncertainty for our grantees and for us as an organization. So we just really do appreciate the support and the generosity of people who do have a heart for senior dogs.
So Lisa, tell us a story about what a Gray Muzzle grant might mean for a senior dog.
Sure. There's so many, but you know, all of them really do represent a second chance and a new beginning. One of my favorite stories is of a dog named Remy. She was a 9-year-old standard poodle who was the oldest of 32 dogs rescued in a Virginia hoarding case just this past year. And she had spent her entire life in a cage. when one of our grantees, Carolina Poodle Rescue, saved her. And we had given that rescue a gray muzzle grant, and it allowed her to get the medical care that she had gone without during those 9 years living in that cage. And she was then subsequently adopted by a wonderful family. And my favorite part of the story is that a six-year-old family friend heard Remy's story and decided that Remy needed a new name to go along with her new life. So she said that she thought that Remy should be renamed Lucy because she was finally loose from that cage. So the name stuck, and Lucy is now living her happily ever after in North Carolina with her new family.
Oh, that is a good story. So you mentioned that Remy, now Lucy, was 9 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. What's the definition of a senior dog? When does a dog go from being a young dog to an old dog?
Sure. Well, you know, there's no hard and fast rule. We generally say dogs 7 and up are considered senior dogs, but it really does depend on the breed and the size. You know, dogs who are larger breeds tend to have shorter lifespans, and dogs that are smaller breeds tend to live longer. But as a rule of thumb, we generally use 7 as the senior dog age.
Good to know, because now I guess I have 3 senior dogs at my house, because I have 2 7-year-olds and an 8-year-old.
Right.
Which, of course, I don't think of them as senior yet, because I tend to think of my dogs as not being senior till maybe they're over 10. And I lost one of my favorite dogs a while back, but she was almost 17.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And, I think that's an important point, because, you know, if you think about the lifespan of a dog, most dogs, you know, are typically now with advances in veterinary care, you know, 15 to 16 years old, which used to be unheard of, is now not at all unheard of. So if you think about a dog being considered a senior dog at the age of 7, that dog potentially still has more life ahead than behind, you know? So I think people need to think about that when they think about a senior dog, that there's a lot of variability in terms of the characteristics of dogs who are senior. And a dog who is 7 may be, you know, just as lively and energetic as a dog who's, you know, 4.
Absolutely. Especially when you see my 7-year-old dachshund taking on my 1-year-old shelter dog who, is 5 times her size, but she doesn't seem to notice the difference.
Absolutely.
So I bet people probably ask this question. Do you just focus on senior dogs, or how do you help people too?
You know, we really are committed to the power of the human-animal bond. That's something we really believe in, and that's why we offer resources to the parents of senior dogs. So we have a gray muzzle blog on our website that has resources on lots of different topics, from wellness to alternative treatments to common health issues and end-of-life care and decision-making. We've also recently started a free monthly webinar series featuring topics relevant to senior dogs and the people who love them. So we kicked off with a webinar by one of our advisory board members, Dr. Mary Gardner, who founded Lap of Love Veterinary Hospice. So she talked about end-of-life care and decision-making. And then another one of our advisory board members, Dr. Marty Becker, America's veterinarian, he talked two months ago, about how to minimize dogs' fear and anxiety and stress, particularly on trips to the vet or during other scary times like fireworks. Victoria Stillwell, who's another one of our advisory board members, will be doing a webinar on enrichment in the coming months. And actually, on the 16th of April, we have a webinar by Dr. Tammy Shearer, who's going to talk about cancer treatment and some things to look out for and some things to do between oncology visits. So we really are committed to and excited about being able to offer new resources to people who love senior dogs.
Well, and I think every one of those webinars sounds very interesting, and there's a lot of talent in the people that you mentioned. I personally know Mary Gardner and through the Lap of Love work, and that's an amazing organization as well.
Yes, we're very fortunate to have a great group of folks on the advisory board.
So I hesitate to talk about the pandemic because I don't want the show to be necessarily about that. But can you just comment briefly on how it's affecting the work that you do in the lives of senior dogs?
Well, there's no doubt that it has had profound effects on all of us. You know, our grantees are facing daunting challenges. Shelters are shut. Adoption events are canceled. We're seeing some increases in animals surrendered in some places. And, you know, critical fundraising events have also been put on hold. But, you know, I think what is most inspiring to me is that while the struggle is real, there is also hope. You know, technology is being used in new and creative ways, including virtual meet and greets and paperless adoption contracts. And honestly, many animal welfare organizations, including our grantees, are seeing an unprecedented increase in foster applications and adoptions. So here in DC, one of our grantees is Lucky Dog Animal Rescue, and they had to shut down their large adoption events, which had been really their main source of adoptions for more than 10 years. And in their first Sunday working under this new normal, they had 54 adoptions in a single day, which was a new record. So I think that there really is much to be learned from some of the successes that we're seeing and the adaptations that we've had to make in response to COVID-19. And I really do hope that we learn from those adaptations and that they can help us help more senior dogs once our new normal maybe reverts to something a little more normal.
Let's hope. But that's awesome to hear that that they had such an amazing adoption result. And I think it's true with people being more at home and thinking about what this new normal might look like. A lot of people may have the opportunity to spend more time at home with their dogs and their cats and their other animals.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a great thing. And I hope that does continue and that we can continue to save more senior dogs.
So you mentioned your interest in the human-animal bond, and can you talk a little bit about the human-animal bond as it applies to seniors and the need for that animal companionship?
Well, I think, you know, as we were saying, the love that a senior dog gives is really unique, and I think that, you know, it's definitely a very special manifestation of the human-animal bond, and I think that people who have adopted senior dogs, you know, as I said, they really do recognize that. They recognize the power of the bond that they have been able to form with an older dog, and you know, I know from my own experience caring for my two senior dogs who passed away in the last year or two, you know, that time of helping them to make the transition from this life to whatever's in the next life is very powerful and profound in a lot of ways. And so I think that again is another aspect of the bond that we share with animals that we love in our lives.
Couldn't agree more. And I'm going to have an interesting opportunity this year to present for the animal law section of the Florida Bar. We're doing a whole presentation on something that you're passionate about, which is really the prevention of violence in the child welfare, but combining that with where pets fit into all of that.
Yes, absolutely. That's a lot of the work that I do with another organization, the Animals and Society Institute. So it's absolutely an area that I have great interest in and passion for.
Well, and one that I think we're just coming to know a lot more about. It's becoming more mainstream for us to talk about it. States are now passing laws that include pets as part of their domestic violence injunctions. And it, you know, we're taking a new look at where pets might figure into custody and divorce proceedings as well.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So more than ever, our pets are our children, and we owe them a lifetime of support and love, and hopefully we can all help to achieve the mission of Gray Muzzle, which would be for no old dog to ever die alone or afraid. I love that as a mission, because certainly I think that without proper planning, sometimes that does happen, and it certainly would not have been the goal of the pet parent, but certainly something that is preventable.
Right, absolutely. A little planning goes a long way.
It sure does. So we are talking today with Lisa Lunghofer. She is the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization. They are doing great things in the senior dog world, helping other organizations through grants. And Lisa, tell our listeners how they can get involved and support the mission of the Gray Muzzle Organization.
Sure. Well, you know, most animal shelters and rescue groups rely heavily on volunteers. So as we were talking about, you know, fostering is a terrific way to help out, particularly now when people are at home. And, you know, of course, donating to the Gray Muzzle Organization is a way that you can help really carefully vetted animal shelters and rescue groups around the country to improve and save the lives of senior dogs. So I encourage your listeners to check out our website, graymuzzle.org, and learn about the resources that we offer and the work that we do.
And there is a great part on that website called How to Help, and you can donate a bed, you can donate a vehicle. There are lots of ways to make in-kind donations or include the Gray Muzzle Organization in your own estate planning as part of a planned giving program. Oh, so Lisa, what would you leave us with today?
Well, I would just first thank you for the opportunity to share Gray Muzzle's mission and vision, and I would just encourage all of your listeners to really think about what they can do in their own lives and communities to help support senior dogs, because there certainly is a need. There's much work to be done, but I really believe that if we work together, we can save more lives.
Yes, and we will work together, and that sounds great. And thank you so much to our listeners for joining us today on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. Our special guest was Lisa Lunghofer. She's with the Gray Muzzle Organization. You can find them at graymuzzle.org. You can also find them on Facebook at Gray Muzzle, on Twitter at graymuzzle.org, and Instagram at graymuzzle.org. So thanks again, Lisa, and join us each week here on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You know my personal motto. It is, until there are none, please adopt one. And today, it's please adopt a senior dog. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook, we're at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. And on Twitter, we're at Kids in Fur Coats. We'll see you next week. And until then, happy tails. Lisa.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats with your host, Peggy Hoyt. We hope you learned something valuable for the benefit of your pet. We want to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. Get more information about creating a legacy for your pet at animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Buy a copy of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet on Amazon. Join our email list or make a donation. pet professionals, and advisors are invited to join our trusted advisor network. Until next time, happy tails!